Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed, my present makes sense, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor empowered. My face is set, my grade is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough. My companions are few, my God reliable. My mission is clear. I cannot be fucked, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice. Hesitate in the presence of my adversary. Negotiate at the table of my enemy or ponder at the pool of popularity. Give up, set up, let up until I've stayed up, poured up, prayed up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus.
We will
good evening, Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening.
Good to have you here with us tonight.
Yes, it is.
And every night.
It's good to be here.
And it's good to be here. It's going to be a good night tonight. We're going to be talking about fasting again. That's everybody's joy and thrill and desire.
Amen.
And there's a great power that comes along with it, and might as well be enjoying it. In Jesus' mighty name. So, we'll be wherever you are around the world, and you're listening to this, we really want to hear from you. And, you know, I know that in some places you can't send a note or anything like that. But I do know this. If all of a sudden I get some kind of a communication with a code word in it, we'll know, hey, these people were contacting us about just letting us know they're here. And this is the cool thing. You don't know the code word, and neither do I, so just send one. Amen?
Amen.
And the cool thing about it is nobody else will know it. But this is what I know. When I receive it in the mail, I will know this is a code word. And the cool thing about that is we'll know then, ah, here's our brother, our sister. And we can bless you. And we bless you anyways. We'd just really like to be able to bless you by name. Mm-hmm. Oh, my, look what time it is.
Time to start.
We're live. Go.
Whee! There I see Samuel J. Cuddle, Community of Faith is live.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello.
Sakes alive.
So glad to be here. Good Friday evening, Community of Faith.
Do you have the charging cord, though?
I don't go and go get it.
All right. Welcome.
Hi, Phyllis.
Phyllis K. Raymond is first in the door with a box of chocolate-covered cherries. She doesn't want you to eat the beautiful chocolate and the wonderful gooiness around it. Just eat the cherry because it's a fruit.
There you go.
Pastor, I'm not eating the chocolate and I'm not eating the frosting. I'm just eating the cherry. I just have to suck the rest of it off first. I need my fruits and vegetables. That's too funny. And it's too good. We got one of the greatest groups of believers there ever was.
Yes, we do.
And I do not have any for you. My grandchildren come first. That's awesome. That's awesome. Grandchildren are supposed to come first.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
It reminds me of the story of the young pastor who was going into his community and being a blessing to people. And so he was going to some people's houses and calling on them, as pastors were prone to do from time to time. Rebecca Smith, Brother Dan, Sister Gwen, love you guys.
Wow, hello, hello, hello.
And he noticed that when he got in, when he was sitting by, you know, their sister, been here for a long time, that she had a bowl of nuts there. And he was talking along and reached up and grab a few nuts and talk along, reach up and grab a few nuts. And by the time he left, he realized he had eaten the whole box, the whole bowl of nuts. And he said to the lady, he said, ma'am, I really apologize. I didn't mean to eat your whole bowl of nuts. And she said, sonny, don't worry about it. I already sucked the chocolate off it because I don't have any teeth.
That makes me laugh every time I hear it. Hey, Rudy.
Rudy's with us. Hey, Rudy.
Hi, Rudy.
Rudy, Charles, Rudolph, Naranda.
I was just getting ready to send you a share. I guess I won't.
Bless you, brother.
Going?
God bless you. This is the one and only master of macaroni.
Oh, my goodness. The most amazing macaroni and cheese ever in the world.
You know what's interesting? Is my mom is a really effective macaroni and cheeser, too. Mm-hmm. But hers is different than Rudy's.
Yeah, Rudy's is all
now. Now, get this. Two different macaroniers in one person's life, and they're both amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But Rudy's is a macaroni and cheese all unto itself.
Rudy could open a restaurant with his macaroni and
cheese. We've told Rudy to open a restaurant and call it the Macaroniites.
There you go.
I'm sure there's more you could do with macaroni than just add cheese. But that's all right. Do that too. Thank you, Brother Dan, for checking out Blog Talk Radio for me. I really appreciate that.
Dan, you're such a blessing.
Oh, stop it now. Excuse me, sir. You're going to have to find a way to send one of those every month.
Yeah.
It's like...
You just come back every month.
It's like the old days in the church. That's part of your tithe, my brother. That's part of the tithe that belongs to the house of the Lord. And if any of these folks come and visit, we'll be glad to share it with them. But until then,
they can get their own.
They can get their own. Well, how did the macaroni and cheese place? There you go. You got your name right there. The macaroni and cheese place.
Could be the macaroni and cheese palace even.
You will fill your face.
Yeah.
Sitting in this place. It'll fill you with grace.
Hi, Brian.
Whether you're wearing leather or lace.
That one never gets old in my imagination. Just places speaks to me. It is funny.
Hey, and it's wrong to start heaving after she tells you that. You have to stand there and just be in control. If you only knew the things that people want to feed the preacher.
Tell us about some of
them. Oh, my goodness sakes alive. And to them, it's the greatest thing that they could ever make or offer you. And you're like, oh, my Lord. I can see that this is going to be horrible.
Thank God all of our people can cook. Whatever we get together, it'll be amazing.
I've said, thank you, Lord. They handed me a napkin with this at the same time and just put it right in the napkin and stuck it in my pocket when they turned their back. And like, woo, that's awesome. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Wasn't that in a meeting? It was raw salmon or something.
It was raw salmon, yeah. That dude gave me that big old chunk of raw salmon. I took the biggest bite you could ever handle in your mouth. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is raw.
Somebody forgot to cook the fish.
From now on, I know what raw salmon looks like. Don't eat it. It is nasty, man. It's as slimy. It's as slippery as what them dudes are going up and down the river. Woo!
Really? Oh, tomorrow planning on making tuna noodle casserole. That's like one of our favorite things to eat.
Sushi.
Oh, not sushi. Not sushi.
Sushi is not bad.
It was just taking pictures of a Chicago-style pizza. I love Chicago-style pizza.
Wait, what's sushi?
Sushi, that's the raw fish rolled up in the...
Rice.
Sushi, yeah.
It's delicious.
It's raw. I was going to say, that's the raw salmon, too.
Yeah, but it's not a piece that's this big.
Yeah, that's true. You don't want to eat it like a hamburger.
They have so much rice and sushi that you don't really taste the raw fish, just a little bit. It's great. We have a great sushi restaurant here. Any of you that like sushi, y'all come over. Y'all come out, you know, you see. Roger, good to have you with us right at the beginning, brother.
And it is.
It's really good to have you here. So,
you get potato salad.
You know, we've been saying when you guys come to see us that we'll take you to the Mexican restaurant. But hey, right around the corner is a really nice sushi restaurant, a Japanese restaurant.
Yeah.
And what is it, Japanese and sushi bar or something it's called. Mm-hmm. And they got some sushi now. That
Basil,
yeah. So if you're a sushiite, we'll get you some sushi. And if you're a bro Mexicano, we'll take you there. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Yeah, I do like the ginger.
Yeah.
I like ginger.
Yeah.
I don't eat the sushi, but I eat the ginger with other stuff.
If it's sushi, but see, sushi got a bad name from somebody.
Roger, I'm ready for the good word. Keep on talking, Roger. Sorry, go ahead. Sushi what?
Sushi got a bad name from somebody. I don't know who. Because if you put vegetables, a little cucumber, a little pepper, a little onion inside of it, and sprinkle a little cheese on it, there ain't nothing bad about that. It's called a spring roll. It's a vegetarian spring roll. Now, see, that's good. So that's sushi tushi.
Sashimi.
That's a what?
Sashimi.
Where did you learn this word?
In my classes. My current culinary classes.
So what did everybody have for supper? We got 2 minutes. Make it quick. I'm having the most amazing Kickapoo juice you ever had.
In water.
All y'all know that down south, you can buy the bottled drink called Yahoo, which is sort of like, you know, like chocolate milk. It's like Starbucks in the glass jar you buy at the store.
I've never bought that.
Yes, you have. We buy it all the time. We used to. Starbucks in the glass jar, and it's called French vanilla, and it's what's it called?
Yeah.
Anyways, they were the forerunner of it, and it was called Yahoo.
Yeah, I remember Yahoo.
Yahoo! Oh, that was good stuff. You could get it right in the pop machine.
Roger never tried sushi. Yeah, just don't, Roger. There's just no point.
Roger, get here. Now, since I'm talking sushi tonight, I'm not much for sushi with caviar on it.
Cool.
I haven't figured that caviar stuff out yet because it's kind of gritty. And Rudy's having walleye.
Wow. That sounds good, Rudy. It would be great with some of your macaroni.
Did you catch it yourself? Wow. So what everybody else have for supper? I'm not the only one that needs to be talking here. All y'all need to be talking.
I'm with Rebecca. The Chicago style pizza is
Chicago style pizza. Amen, 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 and amen. And amen, and amen. All in favor of pizza and pizza rolls tonight? I'm trying. I'm on the lake. All right, man. That's awesome.
Oh, wow. And you, are you in Florida?
No, he's out here. He's out here on the lake.
Oh.
He's ice fishing on the lake.
I thought you were heading to Florida, back to Florida this morning.
Well, sometime, but he's ice fishing right now on the way.
Wow. It's
pizza
a nice day for it.
And cheese puffs. Green beans and carrots.
Yep.
Woo! That's a good supper right there.
Yeah.
That's a really good supper. I like that. Well, there's no holiness in us asking each other what we put in here for supper, but I'm starting a fast from sugar tonight.
You
I will
supposed
not
to start it Monday.
Yeah, you're supposed to be on that on Monday.
And then next week, so everybody gets prepared for that, next week is no sugar and no meat.
No sweets and no meat. I'm not the one who said no sugar. Sister Leanne is the one that said no sugar. I just said sweets.
Because
see, with sweets, now that's candy and cake and stuff. No sugar. You can't even eat cinnamon sugar on your toast with that. You can't have jelly. You can't have maple syrup.
No.
You...
And then what's the next week? The next week is no bread. So actually the last 2 weeks wind up being the Daniel fast. It's basically fruits and vegetables. No meat, sweets, or pleasant bread. Yeah.
Right. So this week is sweet. Next Monday night will be meats and sweets, and we'll go from Monday to Sunday on our fast. Is there a good clothing store where you live?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hotels.
Oh, yeah, and a hotel and a motel.
Yep.
And
several of them, actually.
Quesadilla Rayana, chimichanga, and rice and beans.
Wow. That
Wait, now, is this at your own house or somewhere?
Oh, I was
going to
say, she is just an amazing cook. I mean,
we're all going to have Gwen start
Gwen and Rudy, they need to open a restaurant.
We're going to have Gwen start her own live stream, Cooking with Gwen.
There you go. Yum.
And now we add 1/2 cup of sugar. Brother Dan will be there.
Not until February 1st. I was sick last night, so I went to sleep very early. Well, we're glad you're feeling better and got some sleep.
Yes, Brother Roger, there are hotels for you to stay at. We'll even tell you which one's the best one. And we got clothing stores, so if you don't even want to carry a suitcase, you can buy clothes when you get here. And if you come in the winter, we can get you winter store clothes, winter clothes store. Authentic Mexican restaurant.
Yum.
Woo! I am ready to go. Rebecca, you were probably sick last night because you were eating sweets when you wasn't supposed to be.
Oh, that could be.
All right, so... Well, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name.
Yes, she does.
And the revelation of the healing has to come for everybody. Did everybody get a notice?
I did.
Did you?
Thank you.
I got to see who all I sent it to.
Good for you to notify me when you're here.
Did you get one sent to Brother Al?
I did not.
Well, what's going on with that?
Is he his messenger or text?
Well, I'm not quite sure, but I sent it out now. Well, I'm getting ready to lay the word on you, Brother Roger. I'm getting ready to lay the word on you. So, well, I needed to send a few more out myself. But that's all right. We'll get them done real quick.
Did you need to send one to
Andy? No, I already sent one down.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. I'm looking up funny. I noticed the notification. Oh, I thought you were here. Oh, the one from Facebook. That's good.
Did
say.
You get it? I noticed the notification.
Now, wait a minute, Pastor. I barely had anything sweet yesterday.
It's all right. It's all right. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. That is what is important. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. In Jesus' mighty name. Please, yeah. right. Are we about ready?
I'm ready. And Roger's been telling you over and over. It's done.
Well, I got to talk just a little bit more. I had an answer to prayer happen.
Amazing. Couple of answers, actually.
I had a whole stack of answers to prayer happen today. And I'm actually doing pretty good tonight. I figured I'd be just overcome with the joy and the answers from God. And, you know, the Bible says, when desire comes, it is the tree of life. And my, how absolutely true that is. And thank you, Father, for that.
Yes.
We receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Well, here we go. Let's get ourselves started here tonight. We'll rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. We're getting ready to rise the Pledge of Allegiance.
While you're getting ready for that, I did have something else I want to say to everybody. Anyone that has tied to the ministry or sewed, if you would like a year-end giving receipt for taxes, just shoot us a message, and we'll do that. I can print it out and send it to you in the mail. Because we do, you know, tithe and pay taxes on everything that is sown here. And I know it used to be so high that people couldn't use it on their taxes, but now I believe it's last year it was a $300 cap that you could use. So if anybody does need a tithing receipt or a giving receipt, let us know, okay?
That's pretty cool. All right, here we go. Rise together with us, and we'll get ourselves started here tonight. Make sure you have your notebook open. Make sure you have your pages numbered. The date is 7 January 2022. Make sure you have your Bible close. And you should have to get ready, but you should have had the last half an hour to get ready. Render your honor. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now, we'll have a moment of silence as we honor those who are missing in action, those who've paid the last full measure of devotion, those who today bear the scars of combat in their spirit, their soul, and in their body. This is honoring of all the families of the fallen who will stand somewhere today in honor of their loved one's life lived and service rendered. This moment of silence is in honor of my dear friend Mike Welch's brother. Mike is a United States Marine. His brother, Chief Warrant Officer, Second Class, Kenneth V. Welch, killed in action, was killed in the bombing of the embassy in Beirut, Lebanon. And this is his folded flag. And I've been entrusted with this for the day of Mike's passing. And we honor every family in America whose loved one paid that last full measure of devotion. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle bodies fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier This moment of silence begins now. And now, if you will, join with me in singing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home.
God
bless America,
my home
sweet home. And now, if you will, join with us in our opening prayer. Father,
we
pray this prayer today as children of Almighty God,
as
the body of Christ, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever, and that glory and honor may be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God and Father of every one of the brave American warriors down through our great history, say this with me. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation. And we declare, God bless America. May God bless America today. Thank you, Lord, that since the very foundation of this nation, we decided to stand together in unity, because the spirit of division would destroy us all. Thank you, Lord, that all across this nation, in every city, in every county, every little community, anywhere there may be a patriotic event happening tonight, in the name of Jesus, may we stand united against the enemies of this great nation.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, that you have promised that you would always be the same yesterday, today, and forever. And tonight we proclaim it again. United we stand.
Amen.
And we will not make the rest of it. We call upon the commanded blessing of unity that comes upon every one of us as we stand together in faith. Here we go. Proclaim these verses with me tonight. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for us to brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the precious oil running down on the edge of his garment. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commands the blessing, life evermore. We receive your commanded blessing, sir. And we pray it again tonight, like we do every night. May we have the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace in every part of our lives and our ways. We speak over the body of Christ tonight in the name of Jesus. May we come together as one and rise up against the evils and the wickedness in this day. And may our righteousness go before us, as Isaiah 58 says. And the glory of the Lord be our rear guard. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray tonight. Let's speak these verses out loud together. Proclaim them as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. There is one body and one spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Jesus, for the fivefold ministry that is functioning across this nation. Thank you, Lord, that you are doing a mighty work in our lives every single day. And we speak over the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, God's governing body of authority on this earth. Speak it with me. And Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus the Christ, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Say this with me now. Say, devil.
Devil.
There is no power you have that can overcome this body.
That can overcome this body. Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus, verse 14. So that we will no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we speak revival in the executive branch. We speak revival in the judicial branch. We speak revival in the legislative branch. We declare revival sweeps across America today in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. May there be revival in our governor's offices. May our senators and representatives have revival in their offices. May the mayors of our great cities humble themselves before you and turn from their wicked ways. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Bless every peacemaker, wherever they may be around this nation today. Bless them, Lord. Help them. Strengthen them. May their faith be in your name. May their faith be in the angel of God. May they walk as giants among us, giants in the faith. May there be great revival amongst our peacemakers. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's speak our patriot prayer of dedication. Father, help us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King, forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face.
In Jesus'
name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for helping us to be and do this work of the ministry.
Amen.
There's no way. There's no human words to describe our appreciation for you guys and your faithfulness. There's just no way to describe it. And so, we'll just say thank you. Now, let's talk about where we are again. Remember, we're in a month of fasting. We're going to fast all the month of January. The first week is sweets. The next week is meats and sweets. I don't remember what Sister Leanne said the third week is.
Bread.
Huh?
Bread.
You're going to fast bread?
Bread, bread. Yeah, the Daniel fast was no sweets, no meats, and no pleasant bread.
You're going to fast bread, evidently. I don't know what you got against bread. Bread is delicious.
That was chocolate.
So that's our fasting this week, this month. But the purpose of fasting is that you and I draw closer to God.
Yes.
We crush unbelief, which allows our faith to function in a greater manner. So I encourage you every day as you're praying and talking to God, ask him what he wants you to get done this year. Every day, just ask him, what is it you want me to get done? And once he gives you a list, you don't have to keep asking him. Then start working on the list, because that's the things he wants you to get done for your life. And what you're going to find is as you do those things, they're going to take a certain amount of faith to get them done. What is faith? Speak into that mountain, be removed, cast into the sea, this situation come. And you'll learn that in every part of your daily life is the necessity of faith. You believe he is, and you believe he'll reward you when you diligently seek him. So whatever it was you put on your list for goals for this year, I encourage you that you begin speaking them to come to pass and doing them immediately. You know, something most people don't ever talk about is, have you set a goal of giving? How much does God want you to sow and give this year? Now, you might say, well, Pastor, how would God actually tell me that? Well, yeah, he would. Why? Because he knows where you need to be next year. And what you give this year is what sets you up for next year. You can give today and hope for a return on it today. But when we begin to look at, wait, I'm sowing this year for next year, then you'll learn to sow every single day the seeds that he wants you to sow somewhere. Your time, your talent, your treasure, words of encouragement, your money, whatever it is. And learn that that's setting up your harvest to make next year a good year. And so I encourage you, ask God about it. Tell him, I want to do more, be more. I want to go farther than I've ever been before. And he will help you get to that position, because that's who he is. And I guarantee you, he's got a bigger plan for that than what you got. He wants you to go all the way into the Canaan land. And don't be stopping and striking the rock like Moses. You don't get to go in then. Don't be a grumbler like the children of Israel, because you don't get to go in. Don't be hard-hearted. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in that process in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Now, tonight, we're going to be talking about specific examples of people fasting throughout the Bible. And so, pause with me for a second. Father, in Jesus' name, I receive the understanding of exactly how you want me to make this happen tonight. YouTube is live. Somebody say, thank God for YouTube.
Thank God for YouTube.
Now, our theme for this year, got to hit the right button. Our theme for this year is 2022. I am coming quickly. I am rewarding you. I'll get it right. 2022. Just read it, Sam. I don't want to read it. I want to remember it. Here we go. 2022, I am rewarding you. I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. You will see many answers that come to you quickly. I am the God of answers and the God of thee immediately. Thank God that that's who it is.
Amen.
For you and me,
Lord,
in our lives every day. And I'm thoroughly expecting this to manifest in your lives all year long that he is coming, his reward is with him, and you and I will see many abundant rewards happen in our life.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. If you're having trouble with Facebook, YouTube is up and running, and you're welcome to come over there and be with us there. And Blog Talk Radio, too. Brother Dan's over there. Already got the chair all in order. He's probably got some coffee on and Mexican food tonight. It'll be good over there on Blog Talk Radio. Now, I command you to work like you're supposed to work. Like right now. Work. There we go. Now, I've got, let's count them. I don't have them counted. Tonight, I want to get this fasting message done so we can begin teaching some of the other messages that God wants us to have. 2, 4, 6, 8. I've got 10 examples of fasting in the Bible. And I have a message for Lester Summerall about fasting and praying. And I'm going to give you both of them tonight. I'm going to teach what I got, and he's going to teach what he's got, and we're going to grow and develop in God tonight.
Amen.
At a whole new level about fasting. So, I think I want to start with Dr. Summerall, and then we'll end with my examples of fasting. How's that sound? All right. Should I give you all the verses first? Psalms, Daniel, Matthew, Esther, Jonah, Joel, Hebrews, Matthew, Exodus, 1 Peter.
How's that?
So, here we go. Tonight, with a pretty cool message about fasting and prayer with Dr. Lester Summerall. What I love about the day we live in is that we get to bring up these men of old, men of renown, and have them be a blessing to us right here on our programs every single night. Somebody said the other night, this is like we're having a school of ministry. That's exactly what this is like, is a school of ministry. So tonight, Brother Roger Oxie, his name is Dr. Summerall, Sumrall. So make sure you're saying, I love it. I love the word and preach it. Because he liked people who knew how to shout. Here we go. Dr. Lester Summerall, prayer with fasting. Here we go. Dr. Lester Summerall, prayer with fasting. Here we go. Dr. Lester Summerall. It's all right. It's going to work, all right? All the right buttons click.
Lord, send your spirit in this place.
The program you are about to see is one of many from a dynamic group of studies exploring the untapped resources of prayer. These lessons are in-depth studies of the therapeutic and supernatural powers of prayer. Together, we will study methods of prayer proven to be effective for the believer and disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Lester Summerall, speaking on the power that unlocks the treasures of God, prayer.
Lord, listen to your children praying.
Communication is a is a tremendous thing. There was a time when communication could only be done by literature, by the printed page. And for a long time, it was done by hand, person to person. And maybe one book would take 4 or 5 months to even prepare for the simple reason they had no multiple means of producing. And the printing press changed the world. We got for it. And now we have come through many stages of communication until we are in a dramatic one called television. And how beautiful it is that we can walk right in to where you are and talk to you about the great things of God, and especially in this series about prayer. I can share with you prayer as I have known it around the world, praying with the Japanese, praying with the Chinese, praying with the English people in England, the Australians in Australia, praying with the Aborigines and very primitive areas of the world, and praying with those in Switzerland and Germany and Russia, and prayers that have been deeply felt down inside until prayers that caused tears to run down the face, and you knew that they were reaching God in a very wonderful way. A prayer has a lot to do with who you are and what you are. You may be, you are what your prayer life is. It is so closely identified with the total personality. We have studied a great number of very beautiful lessons on prayer, and we're very happy to do it with you. Prayer in relation to the Bible, praying in the Holy Spirit or in the Holy Ghost, how Jesus personally prayed, the model prayer that Jesus taught. And we have many other beautiful topics coming up in prayer. Divine healing by prayer, how many times to pray for one thing, the problem of unanswered prayer, and many beautiful areas of prayer. Our lesson today is prayer with fasting, possibly one of the most important of our lessons. Prayer with fasting. Do you fast as you pray? Should you fast as you pray? In the book of Joel, chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord." They were needing a great move of God. They were needing a great move of the Spirit of God. And the prophet said, this is the way to do it. Sanctify a fast. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Here they were going to intermingle prayer with fasting. They were going to do two things. They were going to fast and pray. And in the Word of God, the two have been very essentially related. That as you pray, you could cease from eating. And the two would go together. Prayer and fasting are possibly secret weapons. Secret weapons for the Christian. That when he does this, he comes into a power and a strength that he probably never would have. There are three people in the Bible who fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. This is an extreme number of days to fast, and I think the human body cannot relate to this except under very unusual circumstances. Of these three, Moses was the first one that we have record of. We will be reading that in just a moment. And Elijah was a man that we read who did this, and Jesus, our Savior. So we have the three areas of the Bible, really. We have the law, the prophets, and the New Testament. And the three great dimensions of the Bible, the law, the prophets, and the New Testament. And so in each of these times, there was one who fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 2, it says that when Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Which shows that our Lord participated in this extremely long time of fasting. And he spent that time in prayer, seeking God, talking to God, preparing himself for the ministry that would change the entire world. What can fasting related to prayer do? I believe it can help you. I believe that there are times when you not only should pray, but you should fast and pray. And so we take the Bible and see how it worked in the Bible. It worked in the Bible in some major instances. For example, in conceiving a nation. A nation was conceived in prayer and in fasting. And Deuteronomy, if you want to open your Bible, chapter 9 and verse 18, the man Moses says, I fell down before the Lord as at the first 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water. He told you exactly what fasting was. Because of all your sins, which ye sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. In the moment when Israel was being born as a nation and wasn't loving and serving God in the proper order that she should, the leader of the country named Moses says that he fell down before the Lord. That means he knelt down or laid down in his presence, whichever, and prostrated himself before God, and that he remained there in prayer with fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, in case someone wouldn't know what fasting meant, he told you here that he ate no bread nor he drank no water. That means he took of no food nor no drink for 40 days, 40 nights. And during that time, seeking God, praying to God, a nation was born. And so prayer and fasting is related to very significant events. Well, one of that duration would have to be related to very significant events. Prayer and fasting can do great things for a country. I believe our own country needs to pray and to fast right now. I believe that if we were to seek God, that God would do something for us. If we were to pray and fast. Our country has proclaimed days of prayer, I believe. I don't think it ever really hit home to us because we weren't scared enough. I think if we were like the people of Nineveh, when a nation was saved through prayer and fasting, that we would get down to real prayer and some fasting. I believe that. If you'd open your Bible to the book of Jonah, chapter 3 and verse 5, we'll show you just how it happened to save a nation. It says the people of Nineveh believed God. Now, that means that when Jonah said, yet in 40 days Nineveh shall perish, they believed what God had said. Then they said, we're going to wait and see. There wouldn't have been anything to wait for because it would have been gone. But they believed what God had said. And because they believed it, they began to do something about it. It says the people of Nineveh believed God, and they proclaimed a fast. And they put on sackcloth. This means that they humbled themselves. Many times, prayer and fasting has to do with humbling. And you don't have to wear a pretty tie or a necklace when you're fasting before the Lord, you know. And so prayer and fasting, he says, they put on sackcloth. Then it says, from the greatest of them unto the least. From the greatest of them unto the least. Now, if we could get that going in our country today, from the greatest to the least. And it says they proclaimed a fast. They stopped eating from the greatest to the least. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from the throne, top man on the throne. He laid aside his robe from him, his kingly robe, that made him the king, and covered himself with sackcloth. Sackcloth, as you know, is what they used to put fertilizer in, and they used to put corn in, very, 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 very coarse kind of a stuff, you know, sackcloth. And he clothed himself in this coarseness of cloth, and then he sat in ashes, rather than he'd been sitting on a throne of maybe of gold or of ivory or something, and he went and sat in ashes, and that's as dirty as you can get, you know. He sat in ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and of his nobles, saying, neither let man nor beast. Now, that's when you make your dog fast, you know. You start growling, you get up, you're fasting. I don't know how much he'd understand about it. It says that neither man nor beast. And then it says, herd nor flock. Let them taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. A lot of people don't seem to know what fasting is. They think it's to let off on this kind of food or that kind of food, but to eat some other kind of food. You can see in these two instances here, they took no food and they took no water when they were fasting. He says, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. They cover their animals with sackcloth. Now, their horses were covered with sackcloth. And I don't know where it got to them or not, but they not only let man seek God in this way, but they had their animals along with them. Then he says, and cry mightily unto Jehovah. Now here was a city full of sin until God said they were going to perish because of their exceeding sinfulness. But here was a people who said, let's do something about this. Let's don't sit here and die. And so the answer was fasting and prayer. And we want you to know that sometimes your prayers are not answered because you don't fast along with them. Jesus said, and I may have it in our lesson today, I'll check and see in a moment. Jesus said, this kind cometh out only by prayer and fasting. That without prayer and fasting, that miracle could not be even performed. That the potential of it was that of fasting. So he said, let man and beast recover sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Let them turn everyone from his evil way, every man in the whole kingdom, and from the violence that is in their hands. Stop your sinning. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Brother, they were trying to get saved. They were trying to find salvation. And God saw their works, you see. God saw their fasting. God saw their prayers. They turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Isn't that a glorious story? Here was a great nation with its king saved by prayer and fasting. Could our nation not receive the same? I'm sure it could. If all the way from our top man in the White House out to the humblest home in California, if we were to seek God in this manner, we could save this nation. This nation would not be in the throes of revolution. It would not be in a place of great sadness and broken homes and broken hearts. I know one thing. When men are having trouble with their wives, if they would just, fast and pray together for a week, you'd be amazed at how they'd love each other at the end of that time. Just fast and pray for a week. That's better than squabbling and quarreling and fighting over money and all other kinds of things. God save us. God save us from it. Now, there was a time when Israel had to be rebuilt. The walls were down, the gates were down, the city was burned, and it had to be rebuilt, and Nehemiah undertook it. Now, let's see how he did it. In Nehemiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 4, it says, and it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Now, that's the words of Nehemiah. That's the words of Nehemiah. The walls of Jerusalem were burned, the gates were burned, and the city had to be rebuilt. And when his cousins came over and said, Nehemiah, you're living in the king's palace. You're exceedingly wealthy. You have everything you need, but the city of Jerusalem is in desolation. And he caught a vision of it. He says, I'll do something about it. And he sat down and he wept. He mourned. He fasted. And he prayed. Then he said, I beseech thee, O God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth the covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments, let thine ear be attentive and thine eyes be open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee day and night. Isn't that something? Day and night, prayer and fasting. For the children of Israel, thy servants, confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against thee. Both I and my fathers have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee. We have not kept thy commandments, nor thy statutes, nor thy judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, O Lord, that thy commandments, as I gave to thy servant Moses, saying, if you trespass, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though they were of you cast out into the uttermost part of heaven, yet I will gather them from thence and will bring them. I will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name. Brother, that's Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a very sacred spot. And the nations may fight over it, but God will determine the destiny of Jerusalem. Now these are the servants of thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy power, by thy great power, and by thy strong hand. I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. And through fasting and prayer, brother, the king gave him everything he wanted. He went and built the city. We could do great things for God through fasting and prayer. Now, your natural body won't want you to fast, and your friends don't want you to fast. Of course, the devil don't want you to fast. But fasting has a very strong relationship to prayer. There are people watching me right now that have never fasted a day in your life. If you ever did without food, it was of necessity. And that is not right. One time I went to a prison on Christmas Day, and I took with me a large box of oranges and a large box of apples and a large box of candy. And I began to sack it up and give it to all the prisoners there. And after I'd given them all the fruit and the candy, I stood up and I said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I have left a Christmas dinner. My family refused to eat it because I love you. And I've come here today to tell you that I want you to have Christmas, but I don't want any because you are sinners and you're lost. And I'm going to pray for you." And the Spirit of the Lord came in that jail. I suppose everyone in the bullpen got saved. And some in the other cells got saved. They came and knelt up by there, and they began to cry under the jailer. Downstairs came running up and says, "What in the world has happened on Christmas Day?" And I said, "Everybody in jail's got saved." And then he looked around, conviction hit him, and he knelt on the other side of the bars with tears running down his face, and he got saved. Fasting and prayer. I would never believe otherwise that if I had not fasted and prayed, that would never have happened. Brother, I want you to know something. God can change the world through fasting and prayer. Won't you let him change it through you? I urge you to, in Jesus' name. In the book of Daniel 9, chapter 9, verse 21, he tells you that while he was just speaking, that Gabriel spoke to him and talked with him and told him many things, and that it was through a fasting and a prayer. He says, "As I was speaking in prayer," Daniel was saying. And the next chapter, in chapter 10, he says, "In those days, I was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine to my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 weeks were fulfilled." Here we find a man that was giving himself to fasting and prayer. And look what happened. The book of Daniel is one of the most exciting books ever written by any man in the history of the world. He saw conditions until this very moment in which we live right now. In that same chapter, chapter 10, beginning in verse 12, he says, "And behold, a hand touched me and set me on my knees and upon the palms of my hands." He was flat out on the floor. "And he said to me, Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright, for unto thee I am now present. Then he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, to chasten thyself." That's what fasting is. "Chasten thyself before the Lord thy God. These words were heard. I come for thy words." You know, his prayers were heard. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 1 and 20 days, for 21 days. So fasting and prayer became a source of victory for Daniel and also for Daniel's people. And how glad we are for that. If we were to go to the New Testament for it, we'd find that the Lord Jesus Christ fasted. And that he, in Matthew 17 and 21, Jesus specifically said that this kind of healing can only be wrought by fasting. It's the only way for it to be wrought. In the church, in the New Testament church, in Acts chapter 13, verses 1, "Now there were in the church that were in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon that was called Niger, and Lucius and Cyrene, and many which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work into where I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." And so here we find that witnesses were sent forth from the church through fasting and prayer. How many evangelists, pastors, how many workers do we send forth from our churches through fasting and prayer? We need to think about it. If we want total victory, we must go the total route that God would have us to go. I urge you to think about it, to pray about it, and to fast about it in Jesus' name. We read how the gospel got to the Gentiles, how it was moved over to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. And verse 30, it says, "And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, 4 days ago. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing." He saw an angel. The angel told him what to do, how to find Peter, and how to get him there. And so here is a matter of a revelation coming, and of spiritual power coming, and of a blessing of God coming. And it all sprang forth from not only prayer, but from prayer and fasting. I know what your question is, and I'm going to talk about it. You say, well, now, what is fasting anyway? What does fasting do? You are composed of three elements. You're composed of three elements. Now, those three elements that you're composed of are spirit, a soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. And these three elements. When you fast and pray before God, you are doing something. Number one, you're strengthening the spirit. Number two, you're bringing the soul under subjection. That's the body, that is the mind, the emotions, and the will. And you're taking the body and causing it to weaken. Now, in the natural, when we're living naturally, we put food in the body, we tank up the body, and we keep it strong. And in doing so, we make it aggressive. And also in doing that, you feed the soul, the mind, the emotions, and the will, with rich food, rich wine, whatnot. But when you deny yourself, of food for the body, and you're what we call fasting, then you're strengthening the spirit, and the spirit begins to talk to the mind, to the emotions and the will. And then the mind, the emotions, and the will speak to the body and say, body, you're a slave. Body, you're a subject. And so fasting has to do with control over the total human person and relating it to the power of God and the Spirit of God. That makes fasting very necessary in order to bring ourselves into a positive, strong, and great relationship with God. Then it also does something spiritually. Fasting reveals to God that you love him. A man cares for his body, and he feeds his body. And when he denies himself that, he's saying, Lord, I love you more than I do myself. I love you more than I do my own being. Therefore, I deny my own being, these things that pleases it, and I move myself into relationship with you. So fasting with prayer can be very essential to great living, to powerful living, and to getting answers that are great. It's all through the Word of God, and I hope it touches your heart and mine. A fasting church will get a job done that a non-fasting church will never get done. May I bless you, please. Bless my friend right now, Lord, and let this great truth become real, that prayer and fasting are interrelated with one. And it matters not how the body grumbles about it. The body is to be under subjection to the spirit and to help us to make it so. Bless each one as they study this lesson together. And may we become powerful Christians through the medium of powerful prayer. And one of the elements of powerful prayer is fasting and praying. If you've never fasted and prayed, fast for a meal or for one day, and let it get going with it, and spend as much time as you can in prayer. And then if you want to extend it, try it for 2 days, 3 days. And I wouldn't venture a long fast till I really understood fasting and really had a purpose in it that God wished to perform in our lives. Everything that God does has real emphasis to it and real truth in it. So let your fasting be guided by that, and usually by talking with others of spiritual strength. Your pastors are someone that can assist you in that. If you're interested in a further learning of this lesson, you can get it on this videotape that I hold right here in my hand. We'd be glad for you to have it. And this videotape can be played in your own living room, on your own TV set. You can get a player, you can play it for groups, and you can have your own TV show without getting those off the network. And more God's people are going to have their own TV shows. I'm sure of that. And this would have to do with teaching of the Word of God. If you wish to do it on audio, that's very beautiful also. And there are two lessons on each of these tapes. You get the two lessons for only $5. And you can write to me, Les Lee, Box 12, South Bend, Indiana, zip code 46624, and get it. Be sure to mention the lesson that you particularly want, prayer with fasting. And would you do that? Prayer with fasting. And there will be one other lesson on the tape also. You'll be getting two lessons. And I know that you'll enjoy it. If you wish a syllabus, teaching syllabus, and you can secure a teaching syllabus like this syllabus here to teach on this great subject of I Believe in Prayer. It has all the 20 lessons involved in it. So write to me today. And if you've come to know the Lord, tell me about that. And by all means, support this ministry. Make it strong. We need your love and your support today. We're a nonprofit corporation and can give you a receipt for all of your giving. So give largely and give joyfully today, and we thank you for it. Until we're back again, God loves you. We love you. Thank you and goodbye.
Today's teaching on prayer has been recorded on audio cassette for your convenience of listening at home, work, or your car. You can obtain a list and order form of
at home, at work, or in your car.
So what year was this?
Oh my, I don't know. I'm not sure. But judging by the furniture in his office, you know, that was quite a few years ago. And
that phone
and that big old VCR tape. Oh my goodness. When was the last time you got a VCR tape with that big of a case around it? But you know what? It's awesome to see, and it's so great to hear from one of God's great leaders. Now, Lester Summerall has been in heaven now for, I'm not sure, 20 years, I guess. He's been in heaven. And, you know, so a day is as 1,000 years. So he's had 20 years. So he's just, you know, he's had a couple afternoons there. But what an awesome thing to be able to have with us. Now, you know, it's interesting. I didn't know this. But when I think about it, it would make sense. But he started going right down my list of examples. All right. So he used Daniel, and he used Jesus, and he used Joel. All right. So thank you, Dr. Summerall, for preaching a portion of my message. But let's look at some notes. I hope you took some good notes on it. Let me say it this way. If he said something specific about fasting that you would like to add to and all of us see, add it in the comments there. Type it in. And we'll all enjoy it with you because it's powerful. Now, I want to say this. As you're adding some comments, please add them. I'm very spirit. Were people talking? I didn't look at them. All right. All right, now, let me get back. I got to get everything back where it's supposed to be here. There we go, Brother Roger Oxy.
YouTube is live.
Well, look at this guy.
Somebody say, thank God for you.
Not sure what that's all about, but this guy needs to get caught up. He's in the legs, seriously. Donita Blossberg, welcome, Donita. Good to have you with us tonight. Tisha Jones, welcome to you. Good to have you tonight.
Tisha.
Amen. Good to have you. Charles Rudy Randolph. All right. That's all the way back there. And now I love the word. All right. Now my phone should be caught up. There is power in the word of God through Jesus. Amen, Roger. Now let's look at this. I what an awesome thought that he said about Moses, the law, Elijah, the prophet, and Jesus, the New Testament, were the only ones that have ever that had ever done in the Bible that is recorded, were the only ones that had done a 40-day fast. And that's, you know, that's an interesting factor that he brought to us. And yet, remember, God is continually, all through the Bible, going to talk about the law, the prophets, and how Jesus fulfilled them both. All right? Now, there's been many people since those men that have also done a 40-day fast. There's been a lot of people done a 40-day fast. And, you know, amazing things begin to happen. Well, George Frederick Handel, who wrote The Messiah, the great oratorio, The Messiah, he had fasted for 40 days. As he wrote that song, they would bring food to his door, but he locked it and he would let nobody in. And he was literally in that room writing that oratorio for 40 days.
Wow.
Is it a wonder that it is a timeless piece of music that still stands today? And the greatest of all symphony orchestras want to sing and play Handel's Messiah because it's such an amazing piece of music. Isn't it something that it's a man of God that wrote it, who was a drunk before this?
Really?
Yeah, God got a hold of him. Now, I like how Dr. Summerall started, and that was fasting. What does it say in the Bible? Now you know where I get it from. Dr. Summerall was one of Dr. Barclay's fathers in the faith, and I realized as he started going through his outline, I'm probably getting this straight from Dr. Summerall, straight from Dr. Barclay, and here I've got my outline the same way, and it's just proof I listened to the fathers. I'm sort of proud of myself right there, if you just let me just have a little proudness for a minute. All right? Now, Dr. Summerall said there's only one fast. That's all your food and all your and all your water and all your food. Well, except the Daniel fast was not that.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
The Daniel fast was not that. He didn't eat bread,
sweets,
and sweet bread.
Yeah.
Right.
Any pleasant bread.
There you go. And so here's the thing. What we've got to realize in fasting is this is not a day to afflict your body and that be the only thing you do. Now, it's good for your body to afflict it. But don't get, if you can go off in that ditch real quick and then you get yourself all messed up. Because making the body submit to you, I remember one year I said, you know, I had an old friend in Kentucky, and he was a Kentucky colonel and one of the great men of the days in Kentucky, and he was just an amazing man. We'd stop and see him on our way to him from school, but there was a period of life where he couldn't get his flesh to come under subjection. So for a year, for 365 days, he took a bath in a number 9 tub, you know, the big tubs, whatever they was called.
Uh-huh. Like the watering tub?
Yeah, but it was just like the tub they used to use to take that.
Oh, okay.
Whatever, number 9, number 7, whatever it was. And for 365 days, he put ice in there with it. Told his body, you will submit to me.
Wow.
You will not control me or my desires. You will listen to me. And you will now have a freezing bath. Well, I preached that one year at church in West Branch, and one of the young men in the church heard that and started taking a cold shower every day. Why? Because he wanted to be like God. He wanted to get closer to God. That's a good thing. And his mom came and said, he's chattering. He's sitting chattering for quite a while after he gets out of the shower because he's so cold. I'm like, let's have some balance on it, all right? Now, I'm really enjoying this. I love his simple explanation of it. Fasting results is to strengthen your spirit, bring your soul into subjection, and weaken your body. Exactly the 3 points that I gave us last night.
Yeah.
Strengthen your spirit, man. Bring your soul into subjection and to weaken the body. Why? Because the body is the thing that screams the most. I had a conversation with Dr. Barkley today on the phone, and I was asking him about where things are at right now in the world, you know, and of course he's talking to hundreds of preachers a day, or maybe a hundred preachers a day. So he's hearing things from all over the world. But one of the things he said that was very powerful, so this is hot off the grill, folks. This is still steaming just a little bit, all right? He said, when you get your spirit, your soul, and your body into subjection, you have to remember, when you, the spirit, get your soul and body into subjection, you have to remember that in the whole scheme of spiritual warfare of your life, your mind will not add in the factor there's a spiritual enemy that is fighting you that the mind can't see.
Yeah, that's
Do I need to say it again?
Yes.
All right. I'll say it again. In the factor of your life and mind that has to do with spiritual warfare. Now, that means you are a warrior. Remember, we studied it last night a little bit. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Train yourself so you can drop the weight. Get rid of the weights, the training weights, so you can run freely. Get rid of the sin that ensnares you. So when you've got that finished in your life, now you got to realize that you and I need to very, very specifically, very specifically help our mind to be quiet and teach it that there's spiritual warfare, that the mind cannot search on the inside of your brain and come up with an answer to that spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is of the spirit, man. Spiritual warfare is not of the mind. Spiritual warfare comes from deep within, and you must attack with spiritual warfare, but that comes from your spirit, man. That comes from the Word of God. That doesn't come from intellectual training. So it's another part of our spiritual warfare to remember. Your mind is going to continually be working to solve situations.
Spirit that something isn't quite right.
Yeah. Watch this. The statement that we're dealing with is in spiritual warfare. Say it with me. In spiritual warfare.
In spiritual warfare.
There's a part of spiritual warfare that is you got to use your mind, your will, your emotion, because you got to take this word off this book, put it into a battle plan, and begin to speak it. So you're going to use your soulish realm, but your soulish realm is not in charge of spiritual warfare.
Amen.
Right? Your soulish realm is not in charge of spiritual warfare. Your spirit man is in charge of spiritual warfare. Your spirit man is. And so, what is fasting? The day that you're going to strengthen your spirit, bring your soul into subjection, and weaken your body. Why? So that you your triune being. I like how Dr. Summerall uses that. Your triune being must come to this level of understanding. I am a spirit in perfect communion with the Father. I have a soul. That's my mind, will, and emotions. And that's how what's in my brain comes out. And I, the spirit, speak, and my body goes and does. Woo! We're getting a lesson tonight, aren't we? All right. Then he said, number four, it reveals to God that you love him. This is a powerful statement. Because you're willing to give up your very food. Yeah. You make a purposeful choice to give up your food every day so that you can draw closer to who God is. Now, let's read some of these examples. He read Jonah. So I'm going to leave Jonah alone. All right. He read Moses up on the mountaintop while God was birthing the children of Israel. I'll leave that one alone. All right. But I'm going to go to our favorite verses of scripture that we use every day. Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3. Turn there with me real quick. Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3. It's the whole chapter. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now watch this. You and I, when we stand together in unity, just like we're doing in this fast, the commanded blessing of God comes on us. That's why you keep hearing me say it. People will come and go. They'll run all over. They'll be in this church and that one and this place and that one and over there and this one. And they don't have any strength about them. Why? Because it's never possible for them to get locked in into a body where they say, I'm locked in. I got good word here. I'm locked in. I can tell God's leading me here. I'm locking in. I'm shutting everything else down so I can be focused on the word that God's speaking to me right now. Now, what happens then? The brethren that dwell together in unity bring a commanded blessing from God. And what is that blessing? Life forevermore. John 10:10, life and life more abundantly right here, right now on this earth. Every single one of us want to have a greater, more abundant, more healthy, more strong, more powerful, more focused, more determined life. And so what is he asking us? What is the psalmist proclaiming? We call a fast the first month so that we can all join together and get that commanded blessing on us. Get this picture. If you're running all over and you never solidify yourself, you can't stand in unity because you'll always be saying, well, what did you say last time? Well, what about 2 times ago? I wasn't here for that either. Well, where were you? I was over there. Well, you should have been here. If you want to be a part of the commanded blessing, then you got to be in and you got to stick and you got to get your answers where the sticking is. Amen?
Amen.
Now watch this. Sunday guys, you're welcome.
Love you, Sunday. Glad you're here.
Welcome, welcome. Now let's go to Esther. This is a good one. I really like this. Esther. Esther chapter 3, verse number 15, I believe. Hold on, let me check. Esther number 3, chapter 3, verse
What
did I say?
Sure if it-
well, somebody didn't write these notes right.
Oh, you did watch Esther last night?
Wow, that's
the
cool
movie. I've never seen that, but I bet it would be really good.
Well, here we go. So the reference point then is 3:15 to 4:17. That's the whole story. What if you fast, but you're working and running around, and it's not like you're praying and reading the word? Now watch. That's a very good question, all right, Francetta? Because people that work, you work. You have to work. And people that don't work should, all right? But if you're working, you're working. That's what you got to do. The idea about fasting at the first of the year is to set aside some very specific time to enter into that new place in God that you want to go. That's why get a notebook. That's why write down some goals. Write down some plans. Get alone with God. Shut off the TV. Shut down the family. Say, hey, I got to be with God for a little while. And so you can go to a new level in God. See, this is why I was teaching so specifically last night. There's a lot of people that all they are on is a hunger strike or just joining with the church and giving up food, but I still got to go like crazy like I always go. Well, the idea behind fasting is that you focus in some time to be with God and grow and develop in Him. Are you still fasting? Yes, you're fasting. And I once heard Dr. Roy C. Hicks say, if you give up a biscuit for God, He pays attention. But don't give up your biscuits. Give up donuts.
Or both.
All right. So, yes, you're fasting. And the idea is, let's just make a focus to get in closer to God. You know, maybe your time with God this year is a challenge for you, and you're just making sure you're reading the Bible every day with me. And that's your focus time. That's good. If you haven't had it and you have it now, get it, because that's going to help you. Oh, my goodness, look what time it is. You know how many pieces of scripture I got? So in Esther chapter 3, Haman, that one weird guy, the Agagite, was an enemy of the Jews. And he went before the king and he said, we got to get rid of these people. They don't even listen to your laws. Well, he's lying and he's trying to get rid of the Jews. And the king gave him his signet ring and said, well, go get rid of those people who hate me. Well, the people that hated him was the Jews. So that's in chapter 3, verse 15. Now, let's go and let's read Esther 4, verse 1. And we'll probably read down through, verse 3 or 4. When Mordecai learned that this had happened, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out and cried in the midst of the city. He cried out with a loud and bitter cry. James Denny Jr., welcome, man. Good to have you with us tonight. Verse 2, he went as far as the front of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. Every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Why? Because it said on this specific day that they could annihilate the Jews. All right? That's in 3:13. So, verse 4, Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her, and the queen was deeply distressed that she sent garments to clothe Mordecai and take his sackcloth away from him, but he would not accept them. Now, Mordecai had groomed her to be able to be the queen in the place of Vashti. All right? Verse 5, Esther called Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, whom he had appointed to attend her, And she gave him a command concerning Mordecai to learn what and why this was. So he went and do that. And he sent a copy of the king's decree. Verse 9, Hatak returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Esther spoke to Hatak and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman that goes into the inner court of the king who's not been called, he has but one law, put all to death. So you couldn't go before the king to stop it unless the king had called you in his place. And Mordecai had said, Esther, you got to go before the king and get it stopped. 13. Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do you think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews? For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. That's interesting. You and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Now, you just saw that as soon as that command came out from the king, that decree, that fasting and mourning is now happening all over the kingdom with the Jews. They know about fasting. So now they're getting serious about it. The whole nation of Jews is fasting. What is a eunuch? A eunuch is a man who's been neuterized by the king's command so that he would be safe with the king's wife or with his concubines. What's the right word for it? Eunuchized.
He has lost his male organs
physically because the king wanted him to be around. They needed men to be in the palace with the women, and they couldn't have a man that was going to be able to have sex with his wives or his concubines.
So they would surgically
own their testicles.
Male parts.
Yes. Might get banned for that word.
Uh-oh.
look at verse 14. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Now, I want you to see this. This is one of the verses that makes me pray every day for the United States of America. Can you imagine standing before Jesus and saying, well, I know America needed help, but I was too busy to pray. I'm sorry, Lord, but I was just too busy. I love America, but I was just too busy. Well, what did Mordecai say to Esther? If you don't step up, deliverance will come from somewhere because God's going to deliver us. But it would be better if it came through you. Now look at verse 16. Esther said, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night and day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law. If I perish, I perish. And Mordecai went and did according to all that Esther commanded him. Well, then Esther made a banquet for Haman, and then Esther made another banquet for Haman, and then Esther looked at the king and said, that guy right there is trying to kill all my folk. And the king said, thou art a fool. Hang him on his own gallows. And the man was killed. All right?
Yep.
Now, the king's got a choice. But see, all of Israel, all over the nation, is still fasting. And so what did the king say? Let's go over here. I'll get the right chapter. chapter 8 is where Esther saves the Jews. I'm not going to give you specific verses. What Esther wrote by Mordecai's hand with the king's signet ring was, in the day that anybody stands up to kill the Jews are to stand up and to defend themselves. Well, you got 2 degrees. If there's people that want to fight against the Jews, the king's not going to stop it because his decree is his decree. But he also wrote that the Jews were able to stand up and defend themselves. There's a whole lot of fasting going on before she got to the king. Now listen, starvation isn't going to change the king's heart. Starvation didn't help Esther in her body move God's hand. What she did in setting aside her time and 3 days of fasting and prayer was she got closer to God, got focused in her spirit, got her spirit and her soul and her body in order, and was able to hear God very clearly when her body wasn't screaming at her. Fasting is about revelation. You don't want to just fast without entering into more revelation of God's holy word. Listen, you know one of the most biggest benefits of fasting? It's getting rid of distractions. You know, one of the biggest distractions any of us have is people who are going nowhere, doing nothing, and they know it, and they don't want you going anywhere and doing anything, so they're going to do everything in their power to stop you. They are used by our enemy to stop you from receiving everything God wants for you to have. One of the things that fasting does is it helps you shut down the distractions and just say, hold it, I got to go be with God.
Amen.
Yes, Esther could have been killed just for going to the king without permission. That's a husband you don't want.
Yeah.
Well, wait, it wasn't just Esther. That was anybody in the whole kingdom. Mm-hmm. Any of his aides. If you walked in there without a plan that he had already set up, unless he said, bears here what this one says. Your head is coming off. Yeah. Now, let's get back to the point of fasting in Esther's story. The purpose of fasting is to get yourself focused on the presence and power of God. Now watch. Romans 10, 17. I want you to go look there. Romans 10, 17. But you got to turn quickly because the clock is a-ticking. Tick, 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 click, 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 click. Romans 10. No, let's do a reference point of 6 through 17. She needed God's help to save her people, the Jews. See, when you start fasting and setting aside more time to be with God, the very fact that you're focusing on God now is going to bring God closer to you.
Yeah. Amen.
He's the rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Romans chapter 10, verses 6 through 17. Romans 10, 6 through 17. But I'm going to read verse 7. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the God. So the whole purpose of setting aside a time to fast is so that we enter 2022 at a greater level of revelation so we can enter into greater places with our faith. But see, faith comes by hearing the word. And you hear the word when somebody's preaching the word to you. The cool thing about the community of faith is the word is here every single night. You have access to this word every single night. And faith will come to you from this word every time you come here. And the more you come here, the more faith you get. There's a lot of people that have come because they've never been used to this much word in their life. And they get about 3 days of word, and they're so full of the word, they got to go live it off for a while before they come back. All right? But the reality about God is if you go for total submersion in the word, you can have it. That's a statement that they use in the military when they're sending the special forces into a new place, and they need to be able to understand that language. They'll send them into that place, and that's it. You're there. And that's the only language you hear. And you got a book, maybe, and you're studying words that they're saying, but it's called total submersion. Why? Because you're put in there, and that's the only language anybody's speaking, and now all of a sudden, your system automatically picks up something different that you didn't even know was available. We sissify and babyize our systems all the time. We make our lives get softer and softer and softer all the time. Now, I'm not telling you to be hard on yourself, to be a hard nut. But the harder you are in yourself, the easier life will be on you. Amen?
Amen.
That's just one of those things to do. And you just learn to do some things that continually keeps you on that cutting edge. So with the word of God, you think about what you get every week right here. Most people get in one night here more than what they used to get in a week at their local church. Most people get in a week here more than what they would have received in a month in a church. Most people get in a month here more word than they would receive in a year at a local church. Well, what's the benefit of that, Pastor? You can go from zero to wide open in faith by this word that we're giving you. Because it's all about faith. Amen. You look how fast you guys grow in God. Why? Because every night we're going to hit the same words, and we're going to add another verse, and we're going to come at it from this direction and come at it from that direction, and then parachute in on top of it, bring the submarine up around it, send you in on a helicopter. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now watch. Let's get to another one of our examples. We already saved Esther and the Jews. Let's now go to Joel chapter 2. Well, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Amen, Rebecca. This is what a whole lot of people have prayed for. This right here is what a whole lot of people have prayed for. So Dr. Summerall, where did he take us? 14. Dr. Summerall went to Joel 1:14, all right? So that was consecrated fast. That was call a sacred assembly, gather the elders and the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord and cry out to the Lord. Why? They were in wickedness. They were doing wrong. They were in bondage. And God was wanting to set them free. So chapter 1, they're calling the fast. Chapter 2, they are in the presence of God, and God's speaking to them by the mouth of the prophet Joel. And he's going to say a whole lot of stuff that's coming at him. And then, and you go down to chapter 2, verse 12. Look at this verse. You know what's interesting, Rebecca, is We had no idea we was doing this. We honestly didn't. And all of a sudden one day, everybody's like, I think we just did something here. And all of a sudden we were like, oh, wow, watch this. Look what God's doing. I began to pray. Well, he gave me that theme, you know, our poster board of what we're doing. And what does that do for you? It gives you a focus. It says, wow, I didn't come here. This is what I'm going to get. And then some of you have said, wait, this is going to be my church. And will you be my pastor? Well, if you receive me as a gift of the pastor, then I will be that to you. People began to tithe and sow seed. That's how a church grows and established and is built. Like the one man said, he said, I called it the stumble on ministry. He kind of stumbled onto it and was like, whoa, look at this. And look what God's done. Everybody say it. Look what God has done. Amen. He is doing a mighty big thing. All right. Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping and mourning. Rend your heart, not your garments. You see, that's a powerful statement. Rend your heart, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. But see, he just gave us a very key point in fasting. Rend your heart and not your garments. They would put on sackcloth and ashes, yeah. Right? But... yeah, and tear their clothes and all the rest of that. But God's like, hey, wait a minute. What I'm after is the inside part of you. What is the Lord teaching us in the book of Joel? Hold on just a second. Joel was written 800 years before Jesus even showed up. The Lord, that's Jesus, was speaking through the prophet. It's about your heart, not about your flesh. It's about your heart, not about your action. It's about your heart. Why? Because as soon as Jesus comes, it's no longer about the actions that you did to get God to be happy with you. It's now about receiving it in faith. And then once you know who you are, now growing and developing in God to get something done. Here we go again. 14. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. He said, not only come and join together with us and don't eat anything, but bring an offering. Pretty interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, let's go down to verse 18 for time. Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach from the many nations. Why? Because they humbled their heart before God. They humbled themselves before God and said, help me enter in to the place where you want me to go. Now, let's go on down in chapter 2. He talks to the land, verse 21. He talks to the land. Don't be afraid, land. I speak that over America right now. Do not be afraid, America. Stand up and defend this great nation with your faith-filled words and fast and pray and watch God answer us when we turn our hearts toward him. Then he said, do not be afraid, beast of the field. That's pretty cool. Verse 23, be glad then, you children of Zion. That's you and me. We are heirs of the nation of Israel by our father Abraham. Some of you might be, wow, Pastor, you are inundating me with a lot of information. I know. Ask me a question that'll sew it all together. That's the power of what we do right here. See, you and I are on this earth from Adam. Multiply, subdue the earth, take dominion. Genesis 1, 26 through 28. That is why we're on this earth. Snake came. The devil. Sin came. Now we need a savior. From that point in the garden to when Jesus came, God was working his people and working his people and working his people to understand that a savior is coming. And then he came. 2,000 years ago, he came. And now, you and I are heirs of our father Abraham because he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. You and I believe God and it's counted for us for righteousness. Not only is it counted for righteousness, we get to receive Jesus' righteousness. Amen. And function in that. Now our place that we're born again and filled with the Spirit is to be fruitful, multiply, subdue this earth, and take dominion. Our place is thy kingdom come on this earth as it is in heaven. And that's our assignment every single day from the moment you're born again until Jesus comes in the clouds and that trumpet's going to toot and we're going to scoot. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. What did I just help you do? See that big picture. What are we doing here right now? We are establishing you in the ways of faith. What is fasting all about? It's the beginning of the year, and we got to get ourselves focused for a great 2022. And God spoke in 21 and said, I am rewarding you. Huh. How do we receive the reward in 2022? How many of you like rewards?
I love rewards.
Somebody type it in. I love a good reward. I'm going to type it in. I love to be rewarded by my Father. I'm going to tell you something about this. Oh, my goodness. I received a reward from my Father today. Quickly. Wow. It just now dawned on me. That is a fulfillment of the word that God spoke, and it's here on the 7th. And had I been a little more expedient, it would have probably been here on the 2nd. 2022, I am rewarding you. I am rewarding you. Wow. Well. Glory, hallelujah.
I love to be rewarded by her Father, too.
Amen. I love to be rewarded by my Father.
We declare many rewards come to you today and all month.
I love it. I love it.
We love it.
Excuse me while I'm having an epiphany right here that for just a minute here because it's like, wow. That word has already come to pass in my life, and it's on the 7th, and it could have been on the 2nd had I been more expedient. Back to Joel chapter 2. What's the purpose of the fast? To get us, get our spirit, man, strengthened, bring our soul into subjection, and to weaken our body so our spirit, man, will be strong. Watch. We're back in Joel chapter 2 now. Look at 23. Be glad then, you children of God. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause more rain to come down, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. So what's God saying? I'm going to bring you everything you need for every harvest that's important to you. What's God saying? They focused in on God, and God said, I'm going to bring you everything you need in every harvest that you need. Wow. 24, the threshing floor will be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. And when you turn back here to verse number 13, it says, rend your heart, but and bring an offering, because maybe God will do something. And right there he said it. Not only will your threshing floors be full of wheat, but your vats will overflow with new wine. What's the new wine? Fresh oil, new wine. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. 25. I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. How many of you want God to do some restoration in your life? Say it with me. Restore in my life.
Restore in my life.
Exactly what I need, Lord.
Exactly what I need, Lord.
Restore to me in my life. Restore. Why? Because the enemy attacks you. And if you don't know how to do spiritual warfare, he'll attack and he'll wound you. And then the wound will stop you from doing any more war. But every one of us are in spiritual warfare for every rest one of the days of our life, especially in the day we live. You and I have got to be in spiritual warfare beyond anything we've ever been in before. Because that's where this thing's really at. We are in a battle, and that battle is going every day, 24/7, 365, and the only way you really truly get ahead of it is you got to do battle every day, and then you win. And God said, when you're in that battle, I'm going to restore everything that the enemy's tried to take from you. All right? Verse 26, you'll eat your bread in plenty. Abundance is ours this year. You will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Think about it. Not another day of shame in any of our lives.
Amen.
Somebody say, glory be to God.
Glory be to God.
Glory be to God. The enemy has stolen from you. There ain't a one of us sitting here that the enemy hasn't stolen from you. And you know what? It's time to get it back. See, one of the problems in the church is que sera, sera. Whatever will be. Well, the devil took it, but whatever. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Whatever. It does matter. It does matter. You don't let the enemy have one thing for you. The whole time we were off the air last night, I'm speaking, you give it back to me 7 times and double for this shame that you just brought on us. And I don't know how God does it, but I charge you guilty in the courtrooms of heaven, and you will not succeed in my life.
Amen.
Amen. And then tonight, today, bam, We got a severe reward from our God. Severe reward from our God. That was amazing. Verse 26, you'll eat in plenty. You'll be satisfied. You'll praise the name of the Lord your God. God's going to deal wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. My people will never be put to shame. Now, 27, you will know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. And see, guys, the whole thing about fasting is that you and I change our lives. We change our surroundings. We change our nation. We change our ministry. We change our children's lives. There's a lot of people that say, pray for me, pray for my kids, but they don't ever do anything spiritual that's changed their kids' lives. If you're gonna see your kid's life changed, you're gonna have to do some praying. You're gonna have to focus some time and get real serious, not with God, because you're not twisting his arm. The work is already done. But see, our Father has already set this earth up this way. He will not do this work without you and me. And we cannot do this work without him. He made earth dependent on heaven and heaven dependent on earth. This life we live here is a vapor. You notice how fast it's moving? I mean, we're already through the seventh day of this year already.
Yeah.
We have already lived 1 week of January of 2022. It's already done. It's already in the books. Amazing. It's going like a...
Really is.
Amen. So, what is the fast about this month? It's about getting rid of the distractions, getting rid of confusion, getting your mind, your will, and your emotions focused on where God wants to take you this year. If you don't have a plan for your life yet, that God is telling you what he wants to get done, take this plan. God is wanting to reward me this year. In many church situations, they...
There you are, brother.
Oh.
Dan, bless you, man.
Yeah. Get quiet.
Old computer just shut down again.
Again?
You think I'm running too much.
Running too much to it?
I think I'm running too many programs. My whole computer shut up.
Getting too warm or what?
That might be. It might be the fact. They're already off. They're already off. So, anyways, for those of you on Blog Talk Radio, we'll finish now with communion. Wow. Never been a part of seeing this kind of opposition. This is what you face in the church. The Apostle Paul said, the great door and effectual has been open to me.
Amen.
And there is opposition. And so we'll now go into the communion elements and just tell everybody communion on Blog Talk Radio if you want to come join us. Just put the phone number in there. Because it's just going to take way too much time to get everything back up. And then tell them I'll be live in a few minutes. Um,
that I'll be live in a few minutes.
Well, you're already live on Blog Talk, are you?
I'm live right now on Blog Talk, and then I'll be there for the Read the Word. Here we go. You never, ever stop what you're doing. You just keep moving. You just keep moving. Everybody with us on Blog Talk Radio to join with us tonight. And we are at like minute number 27. BTR. All right. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we declare the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it to be ours tonight. And, of course, we've had some opposition, so we charge our enemy guilty. And seven times and double for the shame of it in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, as we enter into this time of communion together, the new covenant worship, we give you glory and we give you honor and we give you the praise for a wonderful time of communion tonight.
Amen.
We focus our hearts, our minds, and our understanding on the word of God and the wonderful gift that you have given to us in the mighty name of Jesus. Verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. 25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup in my blood, this do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. His bloodshed, the stripes he bore, the suffering, the betrayal. You proclaim redemption's work is finished. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 8, love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18, perfect love cast out fear and the torment that goes with it. Because there is no fear in love. There's no fear in the communion elements, in the communion service. Many times the church has said the number one verse about the communion elements is don't take it unworthily. Well, that's true. But if we teach people to examine themselves, they'll always take it properly. Pastor, how do I examine myself? You make a simple declaration. Father, in the name of Jesus, I need you in my life every single day. And now what happens? You receive him in your life every single day. And then, for those of you who are new with us tonight, around the world, pray this prayer of salvation with us, this prayer of rededication. I want everybody to pray it because it's filled with the word, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life.
I know I need you in my life.
Every day.
Every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you. You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting
and I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Jesus, I believe in you.
Jesus, I believe in you.
And I receive you into my life.
And I receive you into my
life. Reach your hands out and just receive him into your life right now. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, say this with me. Forgive me of my sin.
Forgive me of my sin, Lord.
Wash me with your blood.
Wash me with your blood.
Make me white as snow.
Make me white as snow.
I thank you for it.
I thank you.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy
Spirit. So I live in power. Understand the word. Enjoy all the benefits of the Holy Spirit.
And enjoy all the benefits of the Holy Spirit.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. And amen. That was the first time you prayed that prayer. Welcome to the family of God. We're really glad to have you here with us tonight. We really are. And in that one prayer, you went from darkness to light in one prayer. You should have experienced it. It's not a feeling, it's an experience. In that one prayer, you went from fear to faith. Why? Faith, Pastor, because fear, because you're going to sin, and then you get damnation. But as soon as you receive Jesus, he transforms everything, and now that faith comes on you. The life of Jesus is filled with faith, and he's now inside of you. So you have faith. You went from your sin, which you can't beat. None of us can. None of us can beat sin in our own strength. Nobody. But you went to his righteousness, and that obliterates the sin. Say, I receive your righteousness.
I receive your righteousness, Lord.
Woo! Now, the Father looks at Jesus and said, adopt him into the family. And Jesus said, sir, yes, sir. And you not only got a new name, but you got new DNA from God Almighty. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. From this day forward, your responsibility is to walk with God every single day of your life. You might even say, Pastor, I don't even know how to do that. Well, come hang out with us, and every day we'll show you a new way to walk with God. Let us know where you're at in your Christian life, what it is you're needing to overcome and conquer. We've got over 600 videos that could be a blessing to you and train you in the things of God. If you let us know where you're at and what you're believing for, we'll send you every video that you're willing to sit and listen to. And it'll be a blessing to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, they put my email address and website is in the notes. You can find out how to get a hold of us right there in the notes of this program. My email address is hgpreacherman@gmail.com, HG like Holy Ghost. Our website is samueljcottle.com. Our address here, it's, you can send me a, a postcard. That's what I'm asking everybody on Blog Talk to do, so we know where you're at. It's called Samuel J. Cottle, C-O-T-T-L-E, the Community of Faith, P.O. Box 4315, Williston, North Dakota, 58802. P.O. Box 4315, Williston, North Dakota, 58802. And it'll be a blessing to you. Any way that we can help you walk with God, we will. Send me an email, ask me a question, tell me your story, send us a prayer request. We would love to be a blessing to you. And now we're ready to receive the communion elements. Those of you that are with us in the radio, run and get some. Take your phone with you, your computer, however you're listening to us, and head out to the kitchen. Get you some water and some bread. Get you some crackers. You got some grape juice. Jesus had the fruit of the vine and broken bread, and that is his order, and that is the order that we want to function in every time we're here. I always tell people, even if you have Cheez-Its and a Gatorade, that'll be all right. But the idea is get very focused about the Bible. God's specific about what he's doing in the Bible. And the more we line ourselves up with that, the more we'll understand the truth. Did you put the number in the YouTube?
Yeah.
All right.
I did, but I didn't see it because they're still over here talking. So,
communion elements together now. Pray this prayer with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I bless these elements.
I bless these elements.
And sanctify them.
And sanctify them.
For this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with you.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is upon you, Lord. And by your stripes, we are healed.
We are healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my
emotions. Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body. From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen and amen. Let's receive the broken body together in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your broken body. And now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus,
by the blood of Jesus,
the most powerful cleansing force,
the most powerful cleansing force
on the face of this earth.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin has been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
In my life.
In my life.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed
and
away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace,
where I find grace, mercy, and help,
where I find grace, mercy, and help
for my assignment every day,
by the blood of Jesus,
and the word of my testimony,
I overcome
by the blood of Jesus. Every plague
has to pass over my life
And cannot be on me or my family. My conscience is purged.
My
robes are made white.
And I will always be
the glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
In
Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's receive his bloodshed. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Let's sing our song about the blood of Jesus. Let's sing, Oh, the Blood of Jesus. 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 It washes white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. It's a little different ending conversation when we can't see everybody's comments like we normally do every night. But that's all right. We love you, and we're glad to have you with us. Now, I'll remind you again tonight. That this is 2022. I am rewarding you. And I'm coming quickly. And my reward is with me. Every day this year, you should expect God to reward you in your spirit, in your soul, in your body, in your family, in your marriage, in your money, in your ministry. Through to you who he is this whole year. As I said a few minutes ago, the revelation just hit me. Wow, I received a major reward from God today. A major reward from God today. A blessing of the Lord coming to my life. Wow.
Yeah, something we've been waiting on for a long time.
Something we've been waiting on for quite a while. But here's the revelation of it. God. By his spirit, God by his spirit is leading every one of us into this. Whatever it is that you've been asking God for year after year, this is your year. Go get it. Watch God do a marvelous work in you this year as you go after it, as it's a blessing to you. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, I encourage you. Join with us. We're going to be reading the Bible through all year. I'll have to add that link. Lord, help me get this organized a little better even yet, because I want you guys that's on Blog Talk Radio to be able to find it. It's called Read the Word, and we're reading the Word of God through chronologically this year, and we record it at night. It's available first thing in the morning. Well, it'll be available by midnight tonight. And at no matter what time of day you're up or not, you'll be able to have that as your Bible reading for this year. It's really, really been interesting. We're reading the book of Job, and that is absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. How that there's so many verses in there that talk about the suffering of Jesus. And Job was actually the first book in the Bible that was ever written.
Isn't that something?
And 42 chapters of written. And it's a poem. That's what's interesting. The whole thing is written in poetry. And it's been very interesting. You can find it on my YouTube. You can find it on my personal page, Sam Cottle, S-A-M-C-O-T-T-L-E. Any way we can will be a blessing to you. Well, that's it. Till we see you again. Hey, Dan, don't hang up. Until we see you again. Hey, Dan, don't hang up. Till we see you again. This is what we have to say. Remember this. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. And Jesus is Lord.